A very good afternoon to everyone. Welcome to the weekly SGC's Facebook Live. Today, we are very honored to have with us Venerable Kemarama as our guest speaker for today's talk. So before we continue, let me give a brief introduction to Venerable Kemarama. Venerable K. Kemarama was ordained in Sri Lanka in the year 1967. He first studied it under his teacher, Venerable G. Nasisara Mahathero at Gangaramaya Institute, Colombo. He later graduated from Buddhist Studies at Perandaniya University, Kandy in 1981. Soon after, he was sent by his teacher to the USA, where he learned from various teachers, learning how to serve others and to contribute to the world. So Venerable has conducted Buddhist classes in America, New Zealand, and Malaysia in the past. His teachings focus largely on the application of Buddhism here and now to better our lives for the future. So may we now invite Venerable Kemarama to lead us to pay respects to the Buddha? Okay, now let us pay respects to Venerable with three prostrations as well. First prostration. Second prostration. And third prostration. So may we now invite Venerable Kemarama to lead us for the opening puja. So I'll be sharing the puja.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Das namo tas bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhas. We take three refuges by together. Buddham saranam gacchami, dhammam saranam gacchami, Sangam saranam gacchami, dutiyampi buddham saranam gacchami, dutiyampi dhammam saranam gacchami, dutiyampi sangam saranam gacchami, Tatiyampi buddham saranam gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammam saranam gacchami, Tatiyampi sangham saranam gacchami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
So, so before we continue, let me just give a brief introduction to what we'll be covering today. So the topic for today is applying Buddhist teachings in our everyday lives. So please feel free to share with us if you have any questions through the Facebook live chat. We'll be collating them to us, Venerable, later on. So now I'll be handing the time over to Venerable Kemarama. So please.
Good afternoon and beautiful day to all of you. And first of all, I would like to thank to Spiritual Group Cultivation for selecting me for this event. At the same time, I also want to mention that my president of the Upekkha Buddhist Society, and the committee members for giving me the blessing to go ahead with Dhamma session. I'm so proud that I'm able to, I'm going to share with you knowledge, or at the same time, my topic, that how to apply the Buddha's teaching or teaching of any teachers into our day-to-day life. About nearly 3,000 years ago in India, the Buddha, the Gautama the Buddha, expounded this beautiful teaching. Beautiful at the beginning, beautiful in the middle, and beautiful at the end. So therefore, applying this beautiful teaching, the meaningful teaching into our life, we make our life also beautiful and meaningful. So basically, what Buddha taught, sabba papassa akaranam, not to do evil or unwholesome thing in our life. Kusalasa upasampada, to do good or wholesome activities in our life. Sachitta pariyodhapanam, purify the mind. This will be the teaching of all the Buddhas. So therefore, basically, these are the facts and these are the things that we have to study and put into our day-to-day life. So then, what are the evil? What is not good for either one? That is called unwholesome activities. So what about the wholesome activities? They are that lead our life into our salvation. Okay. And especially Buddha gave us the path, the magga we call it. Dana, Sila, Bhavana. These are the three main pillars of the Buddha's teaching. So Dana, there are 10 perfections to be achieved, to be fulfilled by a bodhisattva in order to be a Buddha. So Dana, how do we understand the Dana? Dana means, there are many ways. We call it giving. Basically, we understand giving is Dana. But to me, in my understanding, it is more than that. Again, I'm here to say that this is how I understood the Buddha's teaching. Whether it's right or wrong, it is. It's there. I mean, the devotees or the members, then they can judge. This is the way I understood. It doesn't mean that I am the correct or I am not the correct one. So this is the way how I understood the Buddha's teaching. So therefore, dana, basically, a lot of people understand dana means giving something, especially to any clergy or any religious leaders, with food and requisites. But to me, the way I understood dana is giving or sacrifice someone's life for the benefit of others. So how do we do that? Sometimes people think that it's not that easy, give dana. But the way they understood, the way they follow, maybe they find its difficulties, because the way they understood, I think it may be correct. In my understanding, dana means sacrifice. If I can sacrifice my life for the good and the benefit of another one, to me, that's called dana. Buddha means dana is actually sacrifice. So when you give, you can give your time, you can give some other items, you can give your thought to someone's benefit. So therefore, dana means sacrifice to other people's benefit. And the sila, dana sila, second stage. Sila means what? moral conduct. How do we do that? As Buddhists, in the Buddhist teaching, there are precepts. So when we come to it, the precept, I think you all know that, 5 precepts, 8 precepts, 10 precepts. Can I say these are all like a fencing to protect ourselves? I give you an example. Sometimes in our compound, we plant vegetable and thing. Let's say if there are no intruders, if there are no someone come and steal, do we need a fencing or not? I know in Europe, especially in New Zealand, when they grow vegetable or plants in their compound, usually they don't make fencing. Why? There are no intruders. So what I'm going to say is the precept is just like a fencing to protect ourselves. So if basically, if we don't steal, don't kill, don't lie, do we need precept to have it? Not an issue. But the most important thing is actually to prevent, not to do all those things. If I don't steal, if I don't lie, do I have to observe the precept? Observing is another thing. Not wrong. When I say not wrong, it doesn't mean right. When I say not right, it doesn't mean wrong. So that observing, the purpose of observing or taking precept is to protect ourselves from all unwholesome activities. Morning, we take precept. Daytime, we get involved in all those things, our day-to-day life. At the evening, again, before we go to sleep, we observe again. My point is, actually, the way I understood, observing, taking precept itself not enough to lead a moral life. The moral life means knowing everything. Okay, there are 3 kind of knowledge that we have. Sometimes we hear from Serfu, we hear from our teachers, or we hear from our parents. We call it Sutramaya knowledge, the knowledge that we accumulate by hearing. What is the other 2 knowledge? Chintamaya knowledge, meaning we read books. So therefore, we accumulate the knowledge by reading as well. Then what is the 3rd knowledge? Bhavanamaya knowledge, experiential knowledge. What is the most important knowledge here? Actually, Bhavanamaya knowledge. Why I say so? This is the way I understood. Sutamaya knowledge, Chintamaya knowledge, Bhavanamaya knowledge. What Buddha had during his struggle for enlightenment, it is Bhavanamaya knowledge, which means experiential knowledge. By hearing, by reading, we don't get the perfect knowledge. So, following all these 3 steps, and we come to the Bhavanamaya knowledge. So, once you get into the Bhavanamaya knowledge, then we will come to understand that what is right and what is not right. By knowing, by understanding, by realizing what is right, what is the right way, then we establish that knowledge into our mind and the heart. So then it is already there. Once we establish that decision, going through all this knowledge, then it becomes part of our life. So my point again, then whether we observe or not, whether we take precept or not, we don't get doing all those unwholesome things because it's already there. By reciting, by observing, what we do, just follow the tradition, rituals, right and ritual. It's not harmful. It's not wrong. But what my point is, it's not enough. So in order to practice or to be a useful person into oneself as well as to the society, to the family, to your village, at large, to the whole world, to be a good person, The Buddhist teaching is, if we really follow through our experiential knowledge, we call it bhavanamaya knowledge, then we will not go wrong. We don't have to hurry. We don't have to rush for, oh, I forgot to observe. I forgot to observe the seed of sense. Because it's already in there. It's already planted. So then, with this knowledge, then how are we going to verify and to know or get to know what is good and what is no good? The Buddhism is unlike other things in the world. We cannot make an instrumental approach. When the scientists do experiment, they make an instrumental approach. With the instrument, they test, they examine, and they come up with the result. But the religion, you cannot use instrumental approach. Then what? Then how? Religion, we have to make devotional approach or intellectual approach. There are two ways. Otherwise, there is no way that we can approach for a religion. Okay, what is a devotional approach? Then what is intellectual approach? In the world, there are many followers. They have this, what do you call, devotional approach. Why? It is easy. It's comfortable. You feel happy. Then what is the intellectual approach? Using our experiential knowledge. As I explained before, the three kinds of knowledge. Suttamaya, Chintamaya, actually the Panyamaya, the other one. The Bhavanamaya. Experiential knowledge. When we experience everything, then we confirm and we establish it within ourselves. Oh, this is the truth. This is the way that I can lead my life. Okay. There are some examples. Because I'm talking about how I understood the Buddha's teaching. So this is the way I understood. Okay. So when we talk about dana again, many people say, many devotees told me, Sufu, not that easy. It needs a lot of money. I say, why? Did the Buddha use a lot of money to practice the dana during his training period? No, it is not the matter of what you have, money or not money. It is your thought. It is your understanding. Beginning, I already said that sacrifice is the dana. When I spoke to some of the devotees here, they are the one who said that, Bhante, it's not easy. We need to have a lot of money. Contribute and give dana. I say, no, I don't agree with your concept. Why, Bhante? As a Sufu, how can you say that? I say, no. It's a sacrifice. I can sacrifice my time. I can sacrifice my labor. I can sacrifice my energy for the good of others. That is called dana, sacrifice. There are many people in the world, I do not mention the names, but they have understood the real meaning of the Buddha's word. That's why some of the teachers in the past said that giving is better than to receive. What does it mean? How can giving can be better than to receive? We like to receive. Many people like to receive. Less people like to give. But giver is the most happier person in the world than the receiver. Why again? For the normal mind, for the normal understanding, it may not be correct. No, Sufu, we like to receive. Who like to give? But giver is the most happiest man. Okay, I give you the reason, the way I understood. The giver simply give dana within his own mean, within his own capability, with most happiness. But the receiver sometimes may not be the happiest as the giver. Why again? The way I understood. Oh, he got so much money, he only got a little bit thing. How can? So unhappy. Therefore, it's a theory, is already established that giver is the most happiest than a receiver. Compared to in many cases. As I said, giver is always happy. I give to whoever it is the what I can give. Sometimes, okay, very simple example that I myself appear in the world. When we go in out, you will meet many people. For example, if you are in the bus, they see someone coming to the bus that who really need the seat more than you do or more than I do. So is it wrong to give them the seat? For myself, sometimes I do that. Why? I'm happy. Do I need money? No. So therefore, giving is not really about the money, not about the property. Giving is your thoughtfulness whenever it's necessary, whenever you can do that. I do that. That's why I said that is the way I understood the Buddha's teaching, giving, the dana. Anybody can, anyone can practice within their own capability. When you walk on the road, if there is a cyclist coming on your way, you can, because the cyclist start shivering that, am I going to langa him? Am I going to, push him out? So that he is thinking all kind of thing. So therefore, we can go one side, let him go nicely. Then he is very happy. He stopped a lot of struggle in his mind. How am I going to go through this? Because the road is narrow. Then understanding that, for myself, I do give away. I do give them the part. Then they're happy. Thank you, Supu. Bye. Their happiness. So therefore, again, the giving is not that difficult if you understood what really giving is. Sila, morality, same thing. Because if you do not involve in unnecessary things, then do you need observe day and night? It's not wrong. But if you don't get involved yourself, is it not the most necessary, most important thing in our life? We can do that as a rite and rituals. So therefore, time after almost about nearly 2600 after the Buddha's enlightenment, people began to understand the teaching of the Buddha in different ways, according to their own comfort, interpret according to their understanding. So I am here doing it according to my understanding, dana, sila, bhavana, and devotional approach is very compatible for everybody. So what we do, it's just like a robot, Serpu or the teacher or whoever program us. They use the all kind of language, mechanical language, so that they say, okay, at the very beginning, I give you an example, when the child is born, the good parent, devotional parent say, please, pai paya. So they are registering the program in the child's mind. So he start growing up. So that what he thinks actually is a devotional approach. But not knowing that, forever, what he does, he does the same thing. Sometimes we can go on the wrong or not useful thing. I give you an example. Okay. I have seen insert about few years ago. We don't see it here that much. I think you all have seen that when people perform the funeral rites. This is because I want to give you an example. What happened when you go on the blind road, in the faithful, in the devotional road? So I remember that they decorate the place very much. There's two guardians. So there was a story at the very beginning. I don't know when that had happened in China, I think long before. It's also a story that when the son want to do the funeral rite for the father, he prepare all kind of vegetables, offering, and a lot of things as they believe and as they are taught. But at the end, then when they are just above to pray, the dog, their house dog, will start eating all the food. So therefore, they thought, no, they must be, the dog must be tied up. So he got the dog and tied up. His son saw that when he come to his father's funeral, everything prepared. Oh, I forgot to tie the dog. It become a part of the ritual because it's a ignorance. And after many years later, so now sometimes I still see the paper dog. Because it is what they have established in their mind. This thing must be there in order to make it perfect. That's called, because it's a blind faith, no intellectual approach onto it. So therefore, my advice and my way of believing or accepting the Buddha is not to go by intellectual approach. Then we reach the destination, we verify it with using the experiential knowledge. And thereafter, once we confirm, we establish it within ourselves. Then thereafter, we don't have to so worry so much about whether I observe the precept or not, whether I broke the precept or not. And then sometimes when we talk about the precept, people again go into, not to say wrong understanding, but going into not right understanding. Okay, for example, sometimes they ask me, Sirpu, it's wrong to gambling, right? Then sometimes I ask them, what is gambling actually? Oh, then they have some particular things that they talk about. I say, why do you do that then? Then they say, no, because you want to make money. Okay. You do that one to make more money, right? If making money is wrong, why do you work? You are working also for the money. Then if you think that gambling can make more money, I'm not encouraging you. But I can't see that as the way people believe, wrong or right. I can't apply that. In this aspect, the whole life is gambling. Right? We work for money. That means it's gambling. So it goes for the rest also. Remember, in the first sermon of the Buddha to 5 ascetic monks, what the Buddha said? Dveme bhikkave anta pabbajitena nasevi tabba. That 5 ascetic, this is 2,500 years ago, they were almost enlightened. They were searching for what is truth. When the Buddha spoke to them, Dveme bhikkave anta pabbajitena nasevi tabba. Monks, I'm telling you, I'm asking you, as monks, you don't go to the extreme. They are never said don't do or do. Buddha never said don't do or no. Don't do or do. He never said that. Then if you to become a monk, then you have a purpose. Why? Look for the search for the truth. In that respect, if you become a monk, then there is a purpose. For that purpose, then avoid this too extreme. Again, he never said, don't do. No. Avoid the extreme. Stay on the middle path. The middle path doesn't mean that sammāditti, sammāsaṅkappa, sammāvācā, sammākammata, eightfold path. It is part of the middle path. Middle path means not to go, means middle path means not to go to any extreme. It doesn't say don't gamble. It doesn't say don't drink. It doesn't say not to do, but do not go to the extreme. But once you are in the extreme, that's where you suffer. So therefore, Buddhist teaching is actually basically not to do evil, to do good, and purify the mind, and not to go to any extreme. But then, if you were to go by yourself, what the Buddha say, the consequences of your action will follow you, not me. Whether to do or not to do, you determine yourself. I only explain what is right, what is not right, what is wrong, what is not wrong, according to what? According to the journey to Nibbana. If you are on this path, if you want, then you have to be this way. If you do not want, it's your thing that you may have to take your own consequences. So therefore, extremism is not in Buddha's teaching. Do what you want to do, but make sure you are not in the extreme. Remember, when the Siddhartha Gautama, 6 years, it is said that he went for self-mortification. And he was just out from the palace, one extreme, luxury life. So that therefore, following the other ascetic in the Himalayan, he went for another extreme, that is self-mortification. Not eating anything, not giving any comfort to the life, until he become bone and the skeleton and the skin. Then in the one of the story, it is said that while he is doing his meditation, he heard the voice. Someone saying that, don't pull too strong. Maybe it break. That means don't pull it too strong. The rock will break. Don't loosen too much. It will go haywire. I mean, this is a story. True or not true, I don't know, but there is some moral values there. The value is that it means not to go to any extreme, but stay on the middle path. When you are in the middle path, it will drive you in the safe way towards the final goal, we call it Nirvana. And sometimes, and also many devotees, because especially those who are going through devotional approach, they say, I'm young. I have a lot of things to do, enjoy my life. Why not I go to the temple or to become ascetic when I get older? I don't need to learn meditation now. Maybe later part of my life. Again, it is a misunderstanding of meditation. Meditation is not aiming for any particular concept. Meditation teaches us to improve our mind, purify our mind. So, if you learn any program, how to program or IC or PLC, that means you do the program, or robot, you learn how to program, but it's up to you what purpose you are making it. Some people, they do program, they make beautiful consumer product in the world. Some people learn the program, they do missiles and the time bombs. Same people, same program, but depend how you use it. If you have a proper knowledge, what is right and what is not right, then learning something is not wrong. How you use it, it can be wrong or right. So learning a program doesn't mean you are wrong. Depend how you use it, for what purpose. If you are using it for destructive purpose, then it can say it's wrong, abuse, misuse. If you are using it for some consumer product or people, to make the people life more comfortable and easy, then it's for a good purpose. I'm sure you all are also very good in IT. And then remember, it depends on how we use it. Use for good purpose is good, and use it bad purpose, then it's bad. And again, that we are taught metta bhavana. So what we do, many people, many devotees, we get together and then we recite loving kindness. But without understanding what it says. Karniya Metta, I'm sure that you heard about it. I'm sure you are reciting it sometime. But we use it for love meditation on Metta Bhavana. What do? We recite. Not wrong. But not wrong doesn't mean not correct as well. Because the Metta Sutta giving us the instruction of how to practice Metta Bhavana. But many of us, what we do, instead of following the instruction, we recite. Everybody together recite Metta Bhavana, Karni Metta Kusalani, Antan Santan Padang Abhisamecha. Then, and finish it. But actually, if you really study about it, it is the instruction of how to practice loving kindness. Even like Mangala Sutta, Sutra of Blessing, we recite for the blessing. Again, what it has, full of instruction set, how do we get the blessing? So, my point is here, when we do things, we must use it, we must do it with experiential knowledge, intellectual approach to the point. Then only it brings us to the right decision. Sometimes we want to go somewhere. We just go to the bus stop. Whatever bus comes, we jump into the bus, not knowing where it's going. It's the same life. So we are following this, we are following that. Sometimes today, this circle says one thing, that circle says another thing. So we are very confused. We don't know what is right and what is wrong. There are many devotees. Sometimes they go to this temple or that temple. After some time, follow another one. Why? They don't have a proper knowledge about what they are doing. Why again? Because of their approach is a devotional approach. Do what they say. So therefore, please remember, in order to practice the three things, Sila, Samadhi, Bhavana, or Dana, Sila, Bhavana, you must have experiential knowledge and intellectual approach. Then you get the right thing on the right place and you drive your life on the right path. Not to go to any extreme. This is Buddha's word. Don't go to the extreme. Did he ever say that? Don't do that. No, I can't really accept that kind of theories. Buddha is only, he enlightens and also discovered, expounded this truth and explained to the people. Other than that, those who follow doesn't mean his friend. Those who give up doesn't mean his enemy. I got nothing to do. I only explain. I expounded this. I rejoice with you all. And to do or not to do is your all decision. If you do, this is what happened. If you don't do, this is what happened. Well, then again, how do you can receive the experience or knowledge? It doesn't mean you study Abhidhamma, you study higher Dhamma, you can be a perfect follower. No. You can start from the very beginning. And how do we confirm and reconfirm of what other people say? By experiencing it. I give you an example. Someone want to go to, say, Amokyo. Someone give them the path how to go. Not enough. Some landmark. So, if I am given the landmark, so what I do, I'm very aware about the road, as I was told by someone. Go to Arjuna, turn right. Okay, turn right. And there you will see a supermarket. As I reach there, I see a supermarket. Then I reconfirm, yeah, what he said is true. Then he tells me until the end of the journey. So further you go, you get to know this MRT station. Then I go there. I see, yeah, correct. Then I have my confidence on what he said. So, step by step, I will confirm and reconfirm the path he shown to me is correct. Then there is no fear. I go. That is how we confirm, and that is how we apply our instrumental approach. There is an old saying, when there is a peace, prepare for the war. When the precaution is taken, there is no fear. So it is not a matter that doing good bring us to the heaven or hell. Heaven or the Western world. Once we do good means we are safe. We are sure that we don't go back. As again, the Chinese proverb. During the peaceful time, prepare for the war. When the precaution is taken, there is no fear. So that as we learn and practice what is good and not to practice what is no good, whether it brings us to the heaven or Tushita or whatever it is, there is no fear. But what about that? If we get involved ourselves in unwholesome act, we can say, who knows that the hell and the heaven, all these things are in this world. Maybe. Who knows at the end, we really see the hell after doing all the bad deeds. Then too late. But according to that Chinese saying, peaceful time, we prepare for the war. But we don't go to the war. We prepare for it. We prepare ourselves for anything. When there is a precaution is taken, then there is no fear. As we practice the Buddha's teaching, knowing and understanding and by the experiential knowledge, and then we establish into ourselves, then wherever we go, whatever we do, we are being protected. Why? The thing is here, not in the IC memory. Once it's the IC memory, we have to recall it. But when it's in the main memory, it's automatic. That's why when you see someone in suffering, the compassion is already there. We don't need to see, this person, the boy or the girl or the Christian or the Buddhist or Hindu or what. No, it doesn't come to you at all. If the compassion is growing in your heart, you immediately attend to it. You quickly, I have done many. It's not for any soul, because when someone in trouble, I don't need to know who is this, who is that. In the law, if I am protected, I will go and help within my own means. I think a lot of I have seen in this country, there are many have that kind of good nature. They don't observe precept, but they are taught by somehow. They are taught in the school, maybe in the house. So therefore, again, round up my story, round up my sharing session, I highlight again what is, how to apply the teaching of the Buddha. It is how we apply onto our life to make our life beautiful and useful to the world. I make myself more useful to myself, of course, and to my neighbor, to my friends, to my family, to my village, to my country, to the whole world. If you are a good person, everybody will respect. Why the Buddha and there are many other religious leaders in the world are being respected? Renounce means they have given up everything and cultivate the spiritual as your spiritual group, cultivation group. They have cultivated good moral, good nature in the life. So they have become very useful people to the world. Don't you think that is what that we also have to be? Not to be a nuisance, to be a useful person. If you can learn this using the teaching of Buddha or teaching of the others, we make our life more useful, more blissful, more happy, and become a good example to the others. We branded ourselves so and so, but the brand name doesn't make any sense sometimes. It's only for recognizing purposes. But the Buddha said, your action makes you good or bad, not your name, not your the race, not your religion. Karma is that what we do. Good one give good result. Bad thing give bad result. The important thing is to understand this one clearly using your experiential knowledge and intellectual approach will bring you to there. And once you come to your decision, you establish it yourself. Once you establish it within yourself, it will be there forever. So remember, what we reap is what we actually sow. And regarding the karma theory, that's one of the main theories that Buddha talked about. Even before the Buddha was born, in the Hindu tradition, they had this theory, karma. What you do, it come back to you. So therefore, please remember and how to apply the Buddhist teaching into our life. I can make it even larger. Whatever the knowledge that we gain through Sutamaya, Chintamaya, and Bhavanamaya. The most important knowledge here is Bhavanamaya knowledge, experiential knowledge. No matter, then you will not go wrong. You will never be wrong. Why? It's you experience it. Then nobody can say, no, that's not wrong. Because you experience it. If I say, give you this kind of apple here, you eat it, then I cannot say apple is sour. Because you know they're not sour. Apple is not sour, apple is sweet. Why? If you never eat before, you might believe me. Why? Sarpu said means everything correct. I'm not saying not correct or correct, but important thing is to establish yourself by your own knowledge. You try to gain experiential knowledge, not the Sutamaya, not the Panyamaya. Use the intellectual approach to. So then I think your life, the whole life, can be a very blissful, beautiful life. Before to end up this one, I will give another nice story. It's not from the Buddha or whoever, it's from the culture. There are four people went on a trip in the sea by the ship. So three of them are very professional. Some of them are scientists, one of them is an astrologist, another one is another. So the other person is just an ordinary person. So when you are in the ship together for some time, you get to know one another. So they start talking, what about you? How are you? What are you doing? What is your profession? Oh no, I'm an astrologist. Oh, means? No, I can read all those things. Without that knowledge, the ship cannot go. So then three of them are very professional. They talk and they boss themselves about. The poor man, you wasted your life not learning all these things. So eventually the ship start sinking. Everybody got panic. Then the poor man, the kampung man, the village man, uneducated man, ask question. Because the other three told him, one by one, you wasted your one third of life. Another one said, two third of life you wasted. If you do not know astrology, I think you wasted the three quarter of your life. Then suddenly ship starts sinking. Everybody panic, don't know how to save their life. Then that poor man, kampung man asked, do you know swimmiology? What is that? How to swim? No, we never learn. Your whole life is wasted. Because you are going to sink and die. This is some kind of life, but there is a moral values on that. Meaning, boasting ourselves, we know that, I know that, doesn't mean that you are a perfect man. So to learn from, doesn't matter who teach us. If it's a good thing, we learn it. How we learn? Not because of he said, not because of his sirpu, or he's a teacher, or he's a lecturer, no. What he says, we experience it by our own. If we want to establish ourselves what is right and what is wrong. So I hope that I was with you and sharing my knowledge. Again, but I have to say that this is my own knowledge, which I derive from the teaching of the Buddha and teaching of other teachers in the world. What is good, I take. And I use my own experiential knowledge to judge it. And once I make the judgment with intellectual approach, I establish it. Then I work it out. As long as it's not wrong, I will do it. Therefore, dana, you don't think that you need money or you need a big property. Anywhere on the road, anywhere we can do dana. Sila means that we protect ourselves of not getting involved in unwholesome activities. So we know what is wrong, what is not wrong, what is wholesome and what is unwholesome, what is wholesome and what is not unwholesome. To avoiding all those, we make our path purification, purify the mind. So once we are on avoiding all these two, third one is purify our own mind. Then we purify our own mind. Then Nibbana or salvation is achieved. And thank you very much for giving me this opportunity, sharing my knowledge with all of you. Now I may listen any kind of question that you may have regarding this what I speak, or regarding not to say not to ask me about how to win 4 digits or what, not that. Not to ask the numbers or what, no. I mean regarding our life and regarding our Buddha's teaching and the teaching of the good thing. So I may be spend my time for answer that question. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Bhante. Thank you so much for your sharing. Yes, we will now proceed with the Q&A session. So if you have any questions for Bhante, please feel free to type inside the Facebook live chat. I'll be reading off from there. But before that, actually I have a question for Bhante. So just now Bhante actually spoke on the middle way, which to some extent refers to when we do things, we want to do them in moderation. From how I understand it is that we do something, but ultimately the goal is we can endure it. Like we try to do whatever we can and we endure as much as we can, so long as we can maintain some level of mental clarity or establish some form of mindfulness. So how then can we be sure if whether this actually comes from a place of ego or pride, or when we actually are able to, so whether it comes from a place of pride.
Again, sorry, I didn't.
Okay, so maybe I'll just repeat my question again. So just now, Bhante, you spoke on the middle way. When we do things, we try to do it in moderation. For example, we talk about gambling. Then in this case, we will try to make sure that we are able to establish mindfulness. And as long as we are able to maintain our mindfulness, we are okay to engage in activity. So, yeah. Is that correct?
Actually, I didn't really get the question. It's about...
Never mind, it's all right. Maybe I will just read off another question from Facebook Live. So, Venerable, can you please explain why there in Jataka stories mislead us? Dana says that previous life of Buddha donates his wife and children.
What? That very clear. Okay, previous life of the Buddha is the question is not very clear to me.
Maybe the person who asked the question can clarify again.
But if you talk about the Jataka stories, no?
Mm-hmm.
To me, of course, there are some moral values on those Jataka stories. Some are believed to be a past life of the Buddha, believed to be. And not in my understanding, not really in the Dhamma, but they are bringing us some moral values. But to me, there are more important things in Buddha's teaching than all these Jataka stories and some other accumulated stories behind the Buddhism.
Thank you, Bhante. Maybe we will continue another question. So sometimes they say that there's a person who asked previously that sometimes they feel constantly stressed at work, so much so that it affects their sleep or like their daily lives. And what then can they do to manage this stress?
Stressfulness, right? Due to the workload, am I correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Due to the workload, is it? The stress.
Yes.
So because the stress, stressfulness actually, of course, due to the workforce lah. And then only thing actually to understand by themselves, and then so there are some teachers sometimes recommend them the meditation and spend their time on meditation, means like breathing in and out, just to forget about the thing for the moment. But it's not a permanent remedy. It can be if they develop it. But important thing is, sometimes we also go through this kind of situation, stressfulness due to the our working time, then it is for us to understand why. There is no remedy or no teachers can, I think, only can give some advice. But whether the advice is suitable for person is another question. It is to understand by oneself why this. And I mean, they are not renounced people, right? They are, I mean, normal people. So unless they are renounced, then they go through another mission. They go through another cultivation, fully cultivation. Then they can get rid of it. But I don't think they are ready for that. Day-to-day life is always stressful. Basically, it's because of nervousness. And then it is not to say right or wrong, but it happens sometimes what we cannot do. Sometimes you are forced to do for the purpose of survival. But balancing it is also in ourselves. Correct? Unless they can do some practice of meditation for a long time, then they can get out of this stress. Meaning how it happened, because then they all the while they are not thinking about workload. They divert their mind into different section. Here they can have a devotional approach as well. It is a remedy. So diverting the mind for something good. But when they practice day and day, so it becomes their established practice. Automatically, they will forget about the other part. And as the time pass, also it will save the problem. But if you want to make effort, we can say so. But doing it is not that as easy as when we are saying. Because we are monks, so therefore we don't experience that kind of workload. So therefore, the stressfulness does not regularly happen to us. Okay?
Thank you, Bhante. Another question. So during our practice, when we practice, actually over time, we actually, especially when we're walking the path as Buddhists, we understand ourselves a little bit better. We know ourselves a little bit better. And then there are some times where we actually realize that there are parts of us that we don't think are very nice or very imperfect. And then we get annoyed with ourselves. Is there a way to deal with this annoyance? or this anger towards oneself for not being perfect?
But actually, the question is not that clear to me. If you can, I mean, make it very short, and then what is
Okay,
the
so
question?
It has got to do with
In our working life, yes.
No, it's not about working life. Sorry, this has got to do with our own personal practice. When we are learning as Buddhists, we discover there are aspects of ourselves that we don't like very much. We realize that we have a lot of anger within us, for example. And then we get annoyed with ourselves for not being better. So is there a way to deal with this anger?
Actually, but I mean, this one is based on the level of our understanding about ourselves and also how much we know about the reality. I think, okay, there is no any what do you call it, permanent or theory or that can be go with everyone. Everything depending on our own mentality. Not to say we also go through this kind of past sometime, but what we go through may not be easy for the rest, depending on our own personal experience. And again, if someone actually have a regular practice of mental cultivation and realization and understanding in the long term, I believe that, because that is what also I myself have gone through. Everybody have this kind of path. Even the ascetic Gautama, within his 6 years practice, he also, I believe, went through all those disappointment, discouragement, and this is a part of our life. This may not be the answer for the question, but this question will not remain forever with him one day, whether or not it also disappeared with the time passing. But trying to cure it is actually, but trying is always not doing. Trying doesn't mean we are doing. We are trying, but not really doing. But in order to get the correct, the answer, it relies on oneself itself. People can advise. We can advise. But the path that we are chosen and we are giving them may not be good for their characteristic, may not be acceptable by their mentality. So it's better to understand by themselves why, how this thing happening, whether or not it will not remain forever. But before that, if you want to get a good solution, then we have to try. Try mean to understand the right and wrong, because their background, our background is totally different. In the first place, they have to understand their own background. And sometimes some people, when they want to do spiritual cultivation, anger, hatred, craving arise. To subdue it, that is where we need the determination. To focus your mind onto your own object. Once you, when you strongly focus, avoiding all the other thought coming in, then after some time, you will feel better. But trying is also not doing. Sometimes saying is easy, again, doing is difficult. Everything based on our own temperament, characteristic, and the knowledge and the mentality. Again, I think 90% of the effort to get rid of it in their own. Correct?
Thank you so much, Bhante. Actually, Bhante, just now during the talk, you mentioned about sacrifice when you talk about dana.
Yeah.
So to some extent, it has got to do with sacrificing our own welfare, our happiness for the sake of others. So, but is it okay? if for us to actually care for ourselves, when we care for ourselves, is it then being selfish?
No, because in order to help the others, we have to take care of ourselves first. We must be healthy, we must be good. If I want to preach, if I want to tell other people, I must have the knowledge of it, and not the normal knowledge. I'm talking about experience and knowledge. Not otherwise, it becomes like a Buddha said so-and-so, Muhammad said so-and-so, Lord Jesus said so-and-so. Meaning like, I'm relaying the message from someone to another party. Just like a TV relay station. Not knowing myself what I'm talking about, I tell other people, oh, Buddha said so-and-so, Buddha. It's not wrong to say Buddha said. But if I really, based on that word, that means I do not know nothing. I'm a relay station. I relay the message from the Buddha to another station. That means I don't know anything. Now, it's better to understand what the Buddha says exactly by experience and knowledge by myself and tell the others why it is wrong, why it is not wrong. Example, the Buddha also did the same thing. When he was passing by a village, he saw some children disturbing a snake. Then Buddha stopped. Wait, children, what are you doing? No, we are trying to kill this snake. Why? No, very poisonous. If the snake bites us, we will die. Did he bite? No. Then Buddha said, Sabbe tasanti dandas so and so. Everyone is scared of punishment. And everyone thinks, including myself, including himself. So if everybody is scared of punishment, then thinking of yourself, I am scared of punishment, so therefore don't punish others. I am scared of stealing my thing, so therefore don't steal the other people's thing. Buddha giving example by experience and knowledge. What happened if that thing happened to you? Then you realize. Giving them the experiential knowledge. Not the suttamaya, not the chintamaya knowledge. So it's up to us to understand what is chintamaya, what is suttamaya, what is bhavanamaya knowledge, experiential knowledge. It's very true that if someone wants to punish me, I'm scared. By knowing that, please don't harm the others. It is not that killing no good, that's not good. No, it is because that harmful act, you are scared, mean they are also scared. Thinking of that with the compassion, don't harm to the others. Giving an example, right? Experience and knowledge. So dana, yeah, we sacrifice for ourselves. Okay. In order to do some act, in this world, there are two people or more than two people are involved. Okay? There are two or more. So therefore, as long as whatever I do, if you are a bodhisattva state on the way to Buddha, so in between, when we perform some act, I must understand first, is it painful to the others or not? If it is painful for both parties, then not to do it. If it is painful for myself, but benefit for the others, what do you think then? Will you do that? If we are more selfish, no, we don't do that. If you are a bodhisattva, okay, I painful, never mind. I bear it for the good of yours. So it becomes a beautiful and good act. That is what the Bodhisattva did. Even the Bodhisattva, the Buddha to be, sacrificed his own life for the benefit of others because he can take it. But most generously, if the both party don't get hurt, okay. Very easy example. Hunting is very enjoyable, but animal don't enjoy. That means the party that involved, the other party never enjoy. Only one party enjoy. Then it is not a good act. If both party I will give some food to some birds. They eat, they enjoy. giving it, I enjoy. Both party enjoy. Then it's a good act. If both party don't, but the other party enjoy, I don't enjoy, but I'm sacrificed. For me, I'm happy because the party is happy. But come to this level, it may not be that easy. If you are selfish, why should I do it for him? Right? But as you grow up, as you develop spiritual cultivation, then I will feed him first before I. Buddha has done that. Not because of Buddha did it, because your compassion is here. It will come naturally. I don't eat one day, doesn't matter what. Just a one meal, only one. That person has not eaten for 2-3 days. Come, I give you my food. That means I suffer here, he enjoyed. But I enjoy in my inside. I sacrifice. Dana. So people come to second level. I think first level is I do something, we both party are happy. Because to do something, there are two or more people involved. The other party happy, I'm happy, so okay, I do. Other party not happy, I happy? No, just like hunting. But other party is happy, I'm not, I take it as a pain. But I sacrifice. That's called dana, sacrifice. Dana doesn't mean that buy some, cook some food and give to Bhante or whatever. No, not really. That's part of the dana. Dana means actually sacrifice. You sacrifice means you give your food, means it's your sacrifice. You earn it. It doesn't come to you. You give donation means it's your set, your hard work, your sacrifice. You sacrifice for something to earn and you offer to someone else. It's dana. Without that's like the basic word for dana means sacrifice. How you sacrifice? Your time, your money, your energy, your knowledge, everything you are giving. So therefore, it is your sacrifice. Buddha, as Bodhisattva, Kuan Yin Pusa, he sacrificed dana, dana paramattha, three types of dana. Finally, what we can give. What he can give from the body, he give. At the end, the whole life, he give. The Buddha, Bodhisattva. And recent life, I don't know whether it is right or wrong to say that, Lord Jesus, he sacrificed. He sacrificed his life for the benefit of others. He didn't want to bow down to the wrong thing. Say, no mean no. This is not right. It's a good example. And he is one of the teacher after the Buddha said, giving is better than to receive. You love your neighbor. This is compassion. The Buddha, of course, in the earlier, he already said all those teaching. But thereafter, there are some teachers, some people, they have practiced, those who practice to the certain level, they have already planted that concept in their within their heart. Giving is better than to receive. Of course, Buddha say, dānam saggaca sopānam. Giving is, the giving paved the way to heaven. So, the teachers teaches us, doesn't mean that if we don't practice it, if we don't get into our heart, by learning, memorizing, storing in the our unit, doesn't mean. That's why you know what is compassion. You know what is dana. But when come to it, you have to think about it. You start thinking, can I? No. If someone's in trouble, automatically you come up. That is called your practice. Your cultivation is more higher than the normal. Otherwise, oh, giving is good. You give to serve, is very good. That is devotional path. Do everything as they are told, not understanding. But one day, even another one say giving is no good, then they stop. Why? They hear and believe. Believing is not exercised in the teaching of the Buddha. You believe first using the devotional approach. Thereafter, you examine you understand it, you realize it, then get into your heart. Then you practice by you're already practicing. You don't need to think about twice. Something happened, something you saw in the road, you automatically. I think in this country, most of the people are learned that. I have seen them. When someone is in difficulties, they go down and help. The rest, they don't make any noise. It's a beautiful. Don't need to say I'm a Buddhist. Not necessary. The brand is not necessary there. Not necessary. But the work is necessary. Kammana vasala hoti, kammana hoti brahmana. By action, you become pure or unpure. By action, you become good or bad. Not by your name, not by your religions, not by anything, not you, what you are. By what you perform, that decide what you are, good or bad. Okay?
Thank you, Bhante. I think we have time for maybe one or two more questions. So there's another one more question